Hello, and welcome back to the American Arson Podcast. Just like arrowheads.
Arrowheads. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the American Arson Podcast. We have decided to revive this thing.
Yeah, it's been a minute. We miss hanging out with you guys, but we also miss hanging out with some of our friends and getting to chat and bring some of the stuff that you might not get to hear us talk about on the record forward. So yeah, we're excited, and we got a pretty fun guest that we've been wanting to connect with for quite a while on today.
Yep, we got Nick Deddy from Wolves at the Gate, and we're going to talk about Lost in Translation, the covers album that they put out, and then about where they're going from here. But we've also got some awesome dad life, work life, pet life anecdotes
in there.
Pizza life. And then, of course, the number one reason that anybody listens to this podcast, he's going to be sharing some of his favorite tour disasters with us. So look forward to those, and yeah, without further ado, here is Nick. Should we refer to you by your name, or should we call you Dad now?
Yeah. I mean, I am on dad duty as well, so I
there you go.
He's just hanging out next to me.
Oh, that's Dad, awesome.
Dad, what are you doing? No, my wife and I work two different shifts, so we kind of, until we get the, you know, daycare situation figured out, we kind of swap off responsibilities. So
awesome. Kinda,
makes yeah. sense.
What's dad life been like for you?
Oh boy. Well, a lot of self-reflection. I mean, I think the Lord has used this as like probably one of the most intense teaching tools for me. Like not only like obviously my responsibilities as like a husband and father, but just that, like, you know, like what are some of the things that I have to deal with, like as a man, like just as my, like, you know, any of my like shortcomings or frustrations or anything like that, you know. It's just like, because, like, you know, parenting is another challenge, right? Like,
absolutely.
Parenting is another challenge, but it's a call for us, you know. We're very much ordained as, you know, even as fathers and as husbands, you know, even more so. I mean, what does Paul talk about, you know, how much more esteemed pastors are, you know pastors that yeah. are husbands and fathers, like they are held to a higher accountability. But even just being a husband and just being a dad, like, you are obviously held to a high standard, you know. And it's 100%. Just like that, you know, that's like, man, it's crazy to think about the things that you've never thought about before. But when you become a dad,
spots that you just never knew you had.
Oh my gosh, dude. Like, there are the deep recesses of my mind that just come alive and just like, you know, well, what about this? And like, what if this yeah. happens? You might have to deal with this. Yeah. I chalk it up to some of it being paranoia, but others just like, seriously, questions I've never asked myself.
The intrusive thoughts you never knew you had.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's kind of funny, though, but yeah. like, you know, in thinking about my daughter's future and just like thinking yeah. about like all these other things, man, like these are just questions I have literally never asked even myself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, but it's good, man. Like, I feel like the Lord has given me, hi, sweetie. She's over here smiling like a goober. No, she, seriously, the Lord has been so good and so gracious. Like, he has given me much wisdom in this. And I've just, you know, patience has always been my downfall. You know, patience has always been something I have lacked tremendously, you know. So I believe that, you know, and anything that you are lacking, the Lord is always giving you more opportunities to learn and to be taught. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. Hey.
He's getting yelled at by his dog. My dog's intruding. We're only dog dads over here, so we don't have that wisdom, yeah, that you are experiencing or these revelations. And I mean, that we're both in a situation where we are balancing, a standard kind of job with music as well. And it sounds like you're doing some of that, and then also fatherhood, balancing that with the music. How does that work for you guys in particular?
Yeah, I mean, the kind of crazy thing is like, for me, it's been a little different than like the way that it's kind of been for the other guys. Cause like when they started having kids, I think we were like in between a tour, or like we were getting ready to do a tour or something, you know, so it's caused some of our other guys to have to like miss out on quite a few shows or, you know, that kind of thing. But like, I think besides maybe Steve, cause Steve has a really great job and he's been able to work a lot of that stuff out, with his boss, just cause he pretty much like runs everything. So when you're number two in charge, it kind of helps, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the timing of her was just kind of crazy because, like we're in the middle of writing new music, you know, so it's just like, we're not touring, we're not doing anything. Like we're just jamming and writing new tunes. And, you know, so we're not really like doing anything. And, you know, we don't really have like a lot of shows lined up this year. So it's just like, you know, it's just pretty much like festival season stuff. And then we're doing like we're doing the one off in Germany again, with Loud and Proud. And then that's like pretty much it. So yeah, it's been kind of strange because it kind of feels like I've settled into normal life a little too much, just because like when I go back and I'm just like, oh right, we're in the middle of writing a record right now. Like this is I'm constantly forgetting about that. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a challenge. I mean, you know, the other guys have had to make a lot of sacrifices, and even like sometimes make sacrifices against the band, you know, just like, hey, I can't make that show, or I'm probably not gonna be able to do that tour, or just kind of I don't know. I always felt like any band that I ever liked growing up, like as soon as they started families, like that was like the band killer. You know what I mean? And like I'm a normal adult now. I gotta do my thing. Like I gotta, you know, I just have to do that. But then like they like for whatever reason, yeah, it's never really hindered us. It just makes me believe that, you know, God really truly has a wonderful and beautiful purpose out of us and out of doing this, because like I guess if he wanted it to, he would stop giving us opportunities to keep doing more, and you know, and all, you know, and more opportunities to write music. And you know, I mean, we're probably always gonna do that, you know, but like just to keep playing shows and just to keep doing okay, you know, that kind of thing. So and not sustainable by any means, but I mean, we're not worried about that, you know.
In some ways that's how that's us as musicians a lot of times complain about the way things are and technology and streaming and all that, but like maybe in some ways that's an area where it's helped out, because you know, social media, people can kind of still see that you guys are working on things.
You can still be active and
or you drop, you know, you guys drop a cover album and you don't necessarily have to tour on that. You know, you can get music out quicker these days than you used to be able to.
I've actually been trying to like find different ways to like utilize those resources and just kind of like use them as tools to be able to just continue to interact with people and to be relevant, you know, because like online presence is kind of pretty much everything at this point. Nobody really they care, but they don't, like nobody really cares about touring anymore, like kind of thing. Like that's why you kind of see like pretty much the only guys that are really touring full time anymore are like the big bands, right? The guys that are already
the stadiums, the amphitheaters,
The guy, or you know, the guys that are selling out the pavilions or something like that. You know, like the big, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 cap rooms, you know, like it's just like it just is what it is, you know, like they're just kind of cycling their own thing and they're all just rotating in all these other bands that are also huge and it's just because they can, you know, and that's great. Like you should play shows, you should go out and like create that interaction. But for like smaller bands, like it is way more efficient to just create more online presence, you know, through like, you know, Patreon and you know, through social media and through, you know, all these other things. So yeah, these are things that I've definitely been looking into here as of recently that could still bring in income. That could help us out, you know, like help people, you know, give people an opportunity to still support us if they want us to, you know, because like that's the thing is like as cliche as it sounds, it's like it really does help us keep going. It's like people like that are willing to kind of like chip in that little extra and like help us kind of like support, you know, and it's not even really like we all have jobs, you know, we all have day jobs, we make a living just fine, like we're not like it's not really an issue. You know, so it's just like it's more so of like having the finances to pour back into our music, you know, and that's even with the label and with all that. It's just you know, I think people kind of fail to realize how time consuming it can be and like how much you're taking away from other things to make music, you know. So
to your point, like it's interesting that you say that because like I know like Evan got married, you know, not too far back. I just got married this year, and like in the past, that might have been more of a hill for us to climb as far as like trying to figure out how the band's going to move forward, where it's like, hey, you know, whether it's marriage, having a child or getting a new job, of like, we obviously, if you're not at the point where music is, you're selling out those multi-thousand person amphitheaters and music is making you more than enough to be a living. Like, how can you devote time to keeping the band active, keeping a day job, dedicating the necessary time you're called to with your spouse or your children and stuff like that? And it's almost like at first, I think, growing up in an era where that wasn't the case, all these online tools weren't available, it was a harder stance of like you know it's all got to be physical, like
you had to tour.
It's a blessing,
like, absolutely. No, I 100% agree, because like back in the day, like it was when we first got signed in 2011, like that was like
Hello, are you okay? No.
she's making lots of noise just like Dad. I mean, back in the day, like in 2011, 2012, like, dude, like that's what record labels were all about. Like, we actually got turned down from a lot of different record labels after our first cycle with Solid State, which was I think 4 records. Because at the time, you know, this is still before COVID, obviously. But we got turned down by a lot of different ones that were actually really interested in us, and that includes, you know, like that includes like Fearless and a couple of other bigger labels. They said, well, we kind of know about your situation, like, are you guys gonna tour full time? And we're just like, we can't afford it, like, we can't afford to do that, like, we're kind of sacrificing a lot of money to be able to do that. And, you know, and we have to make a living and we have families, and like, cause a couple of us were already married by then and they were like, and they were just like, well, sorry. Like that's pretty much it. So yeah, Solid State honestly has been the only record label we found that fits really well because of how much they work with us on.
They're okay with, you know, saying, hey, they understand there's some give and take, like, you guys can't be on the road 24/7.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I would argue too that we're definitely not one of their top artists, you know, as far as sales are concerned, but like, I mean, we put up the numbers, honestly. I hate being that guy, you know, but it's just like, yeah, we put up numbers, like we put up we put up what we're supposed to, and you know, we deliver what we say we're going to deliver. So it's just like, I think we've
you're number one in our hearts too. So you got to remember that. That's the most important number of all.
Shut.
Yeah. Well, no, you know, like I was going to say, I couldn't like, there was a time, even you said 2011, and it's wild because I think of it as being so long ago, but like,
yeah,
even a decade and a half ago, like where if one of us had gotten married at that time and the band was fully active then, like it would have been a heck of a lot harder for us to find a way forward. And now, like we're doing the same thing. It's like, okay, we put out an album last year. We have a few festivals in the summer and the fall, and we're, you know, we have a few more dates we're going to announce, but like, we don't have to rush. I can take the time off to settle in at home life. You know, I'm sure for you, like you said, like going through the process of learning to be a dad and stuff too, like, and it takes away all that tension that would have been there, at least between us. And I'm sure with you guys too, no one feels gypped. No one thinks you're running away from it forever. And
yeah, exactly. No, I mean, they don't. I mean, dude, and on top of all that, like right around when my daughter was born, I took a second shift job as a warehouse manager at my company.
I was going to ask,
Yeah, I was going to say, I started stepping up the company ladder pretty, you know, one really big step, you know, because I went from being a warehouse guy to now running a warehouse. And it's just like, I mean, you know, jobs like that are, is they want you to be like all in or nothing. Like they want you to be dedicated. They want you, and they don't mind me using the PTO to like do shows and stuff like that. You know, that's not a big deal. And I think there's a couple of extra days in there somewhere, especially with me proving my ability to be a very effective manager, like they're willing to work with, which, like I said, is a blessing. Like the timing right now is a huge blessing, you know, and it is actually a career. It isn't just a job anymore, that kind of thing. You know, and it provides for my family. But I honestly I couldn't imagine trying to do something like this like years ago, you know. So yeah, man, the internet is a insane tool. It really is. Like, it's insane the way that it connects people and the way that people, like, I have to always be like reminded that whether you think so or not, like the people that are interested in what you're doing, they're always watching. Always, you know. And I don't mean to make that sound like ominous or, you know, whatever, but no, like in a good way, like that's like they're always paying attention, you know, because like if they support what you're doing, they're gonna tune in and figure out like, well, when's the next thing. So it should be encouraging in the idea that, like, you know, when people want to support what you're doing, they're going to find a way to do it. You just have to give them that opportunity to do that.
When you guys released Lost in Translation, obviously being a, you know, a total pivot and doing a full cover album and everything.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely loved it, by the way. And the songs that you chose were right up my alley. But, you know, one of the things I did, I was kind of scrolling through comments as you guys were releasing stuff, like right on your, like, not the dark corners of the internet, but like right on your stuff. And you know, I was hard not to be discouraged a little bit with the people who are like, yeah, this is fine, but I want new music, you know. And I heard I actually listened to Steve was on a podcast that a guy here in Michigan does, and he just kind of like briefly made mention of it, you know, it wasn't like his feelings were super hurt or anything, but you know, he did mention, like, you know, the old stuff's still there and new stuff's coming, right? But this is what we want to do for now.
Like, we put this effort into putting this thing out. Like,
it's kind of funny, honestly, because, like, you know, this was like, I'll fully say that, like, this was a for us record. Like, this was something we wanted to do because we wanted to do it. Like, these are some of our favorite bands. These are some of our favorite songs. Yeah, like, we wanted to do something that we thought was sweet. Yeah. And I, you know, obviously still super grateful that it was received as well as it was, you know, but yeah, I was a little bummed out, you know, about some of the comments, you know, kind of just like kind of dismissing it. I was just like, I thought it was pretty sick. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought it was pretty sick too. And it introduced me to some stuff that it was a lot of the stuff that I absolutely love. Like, you know, you guys touched Jimmy Eat World and But then, you know, some artists that I had heard of, but maybe never given the time of day, like John Bellion,
yeah.
that never really, you know, just not really in my wheelhouse of the type of music that I listen to. And now I
Yeah.
probably listened to his version of that song 1,000 times
Oh,
since
dude,
your album came out.
Do not feel bad, man. I'd never heard of him before we did that. Like, I
Oh,
had no
really?
idea. Like,
Oh,
yeah, I'd
wow.
never heard of John Bellion.
Did you guys
And then,
kind of
like, I.
collectively pick a few, like everybody brought, like, hey, I want to do these couple songs, or was it like,
Oh, we kind of like, we made like a Spotify playlist of just the, like a
oh,
whole bunch of
cool.
songs that we like
That's
would
sweet.
love to like cover at some point in time or whatever. And of course, as that always ends up, it got way out of hand. And there was like, before I knew it, there was like 200 songs in the playlist. And
Oh,
we're just like,
man.
oh, yeah, maybe we should, you know, because we're just like listening to songs like, oh, this would be sick, like, you know, and just add
Right.
it in or whatever.
Is this going to be an artist playlist on your Spotify profile at some point?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, so, but it's funny though, because there was a couple that Steve had mentioned that we were just kind of like, okay, yeah, we're all in agreement. Like, we need to definitely do these songs. And then, yeah, we
Yeah.
just kind of put it together and just like
That's
kind of
sweet.
like unanimously agreed. Like, Steve kind of picked out the ones that he thought were going to be like good for him to write on, like for him to be able to come up with cool ideas for him. We were just like,
Right.
okay, cool. Like, that sounds sick, you know, because like we were. Honestly, I think at that point it had been, if it had been any of the ones that we had picked, it probably would have gotten a yes, you know. But like, these were definitely the strongest ones. So, yeah, I mean, it just was a really, really cool opportunity to do, you know, do some covers. And like, obviously, it's been since like 2015 since we had done covers. So, yeah, I mean, it's just. Yeah, like I said, I was kind of bummed about some of the reactions with it, but I mean, I didn't really care because it was just like one of those, like, you know what? Well, we thought it was cool and it turned out
Yeah.
really good.
I think
So,
the majority of people felt that way. It was, you know, but
yeah.
it is funny how we somehow get, you know, there's 100 comments on there and there's like three that are that say that you get
Right.
defend those,
We always focus on the negatives though,
but
right? Like
right.
that's the kind of, I mean, that's the kind of creatures humans are, you know what I mean? Like that we always. We could get 100 compliments and then like set, like one person says something bad to us and that wrecks our whole day. You know what I
Right.
mean? Like
Yeah.
that's how fickle we are, you know, and that's why we need Jesus. So
We
yeah.
could get 100 comments, and one of them's always going to be asking if we need a bass player.
Oh yeah,
That's
that's always,
every
always.
time.
Do not
Dude, it
start
took
a
Joey.
two-piece band. Anybody out there, do not start a two-piece band. Don't do it.
Dude, until Joey joined the band, like, dude, I can't tell you how many comments we got. It's like, yo, if you guys need like a second guitar player, you know, just like, thanks, man. We're just, you know, we always used to joke around with people and like use the pizza analogy. But it's like, look, man, like we got four people, we get two pieces a piece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we get to split the
Yeah.
pizza evenly. Like, you
How are
know,
you gonna split that with five guys? But it
yeah,
is
it's like
funny
this is not
that
gonna
somebody
work,
assumes
man. Like,
like you never thought of that. Like, oh, thank you for this message.
yeah,
I never thought of the idea of having another guitar player to use it.
right. I think we played on it too, because like I'm sure you guys have experienced this touring. Like, you know, the joke has always been like, you know, like a venue can't like provide like decent catering for you guys, or you know, something, or something happens or
Yeah.
whatever, or you're getting paid crap anyway. So what do? Is they buy pizza, or they buy Little Caesars
Yeah.
pizza, and that's how they
Yep.
feed you, and you just kind of have to go, all right, cool. Like,
Yeah.
I guess
Divide
this
it
is what I'm
on
eating for
up.
dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, we got so sick of pizza at one point in time. Like, it was just,
Dude.
it was bad. But
Well, I have to ask you, normally I ask this at the end, but then on that note, since we're on the topic of tour food, what is you're making a quick stop. We've all been in the position where we're running late to a venue. You
right.
everybody gets out of the van. It's like, okay, we're putting gas in. You have 60 seconds to run in and grab what you want. What's your
Yeah.
go-to drink and snack item that you're grabbing?
Ooh. Well,
Or it could be a
it,
couple, but like, what's
no,
your
yeah, it
You don't
was
have time to survey and plan it
no,
out.
this is actually kind of a funny one because the guys used to give me so much crap for this. So obviously, like, you know, I'm a little bit younger than the guys are. Like, we're about 6 years apart.
Yeah.
So it's always been like I'm the baby of the band, I'm the baby brother, like that kind of thing, you know. When before I tried to start taking my health seriously and trying to drop weight, I used to just like, I used to just get some of the most rambunctious freaking junk food, like on tours. So if we would run into a gas station, like we were at a Speedway, I would probably, it would either rotate between Sour Patch Kids, Flaming Hot Cheetos, or pork rinds. Which pork rinds not being so much anymore because it is literally just straight fat, and I would feel like crap every single time.
If it was
late, because I usually I do all of our night driving, just because that's where my internal clock is. So after shows, we'll hit the road and I'll hit a gas station or whatever. It was always a rain or a monster of some sort of, you know, of some kind. Yeah. So like that was like, that was another thing I had to quit doing. Cause man, like energy drinks are still good for you. But yeah, I mean, it was, it was usually that. And then like,
dude, probably sour candy is a crutch for me.
I have a sweet tooth, man. I'm a nut for candy and like sweet things and cakes and, you know, all that, donuts. And the first time we went to Portland, and like, I mean, there's like kind of like, as you go through the Midwest, like out to the West, like there's, you know, there's all kinds of those, gourmet donut shops and stuff like that. Like I somehow always seem to find them. I don't know what it is. Like so you can count on me if you want a donut or you want a cake or you want something like that.
I think we just need to do some shows together because we just plan our tour stops around what food we can find in that given city.
Yeah, right. It's just, but then, you know, the guys are going to look at us and be like, yo, dude, come on, man. Like, like, but it's so good.
Shop? Why are we playing in this random podunk town in the middle of a cornfield? Well, they got this really good barbecue place down the street.
Oh, dude. Oh, my gosh. Send me with some good barbecue, man. Like, every time we play St. Louis, we try to go to Pappy's. Like, Pappy's, Pappy's is the jam. Yeah. And then usually a drink is probably like a, it's probably like an Arnold Palmer. I can't stay away from it, man. It's too good. That Southern boy coming out of me, like I can't. It's too good.
So along those same lines, we started this podcast during COVID, and when that all winded down, we actually kind of winded doing the podcast down. We weren't really doing it very much anymore, so we're getting right back into it now. But one of our favorite things to ask people during COVID, because everybody was missing the road so much, was, you know, have those conversations about touring and stuff. And we loved asking people if they had a favorite tour disaster. We've discovered that our fans and friends here are pretty masochistic, and the worst stuff that happens to us, the more they laugh about it. So
I
wondered if you had a favorite disaster that happened to you on the road at
brother,
some point.
Where do I start?
You can share a couple if you want, if it's hard to choose.
We can do top three.
The best thing that you're going to learn about Wolves of the Gate is if there is a disaster, it is usually involving me. and it is usually medical related.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got one of those, you know, too.
It's funny. It's not even like, it's not even on purpose either. And it's not even like anything that's ever detrimental. It's just like, what the heck is happening? I'll tell... This is definitely by far not like any of the worst, but some of the most memorable. I'll tell a couple because they're
quick. That's good. Yeah.
The first one that comes to mind is always one of the first tours we ever did. We were in New Jersey, and I had a root canal when I was 16 done on a molar in the back. And we were chewing on some pizza, like of all things, pizza. And my tooth back here, because it hadn't been capped yet, cracked.
Oh, on pizza?
It cracked into pizza. Yeah, on pizza. Yeah, isn't that It's so stupid. Yeah, it cracked into pieces, into like three or four different pieces.
Oh.
So I had to have... We used to have a sponsorship with Vitamin Water, which is the most random thing. Steve was like joking, and he like took out a like a little bottle of dragon fruit vitamin water and poured it over a pair of pliers. He was like, all right, let's get it. And we were just in like a Home Depot parking lot, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, it's like, what are you talking about? He's like, come on, lay down, we're gonna do it. And sure enough, he convinced me. And we, like, I just laid down in the parking lot. He just pulled those pliers in there and started yanking pieces out of it. And that was it.
Using the vitamin water as, like, a rinse?
Yeah, right. Yeah. called himself Dr. Crentist. If you ever watched Check It Out with Steve Brule? Like,
yes. Yeah, absolutely love it.
Yeah, he called himself Dr. Crentist.
I'm a doctor, too.
I'm a doctor too, Dougal. That's not that hard to be a doctor. that is one of them. The other one was I can't remember which tour it was. It was a lengthy one though. It was about a month. I got staph infection on my left leg, like on the back of my on my calf. I got staph infection. Now mind you, like it wasn't it wasn't anything super detrimental, you know, like, I mean, obviously it healed up, like, no issues. I think it left a little bit of a scar or something. But at the time, the staph infection was so bad that, like, I was limping on that leg. Like, it was, like, I had to go to an urgent care because, like, I had to get an antibiotic. It was just from, I guess, me not washing that particular part of my calf very much. But, yeah, it was.
Happens on the road. What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, we had to borrow like Ben's friend Julie from college. Like we were like hanging out with her and like her friends, in St. Louis. One of the times we played there, and we had to borrow her car so we could go to an urgent care figure something out. Yeah,
did you end up missing the show or?
No, I mean, no, we were good. We had an off day. So that was like, dude, it's wild the timing on some of these that we don't like, that we haven't had to miss shows or do whatever.
I was going
to
say.
You know what? I do have, we'll give you a little, we'll give you an extra. We'll give you some
bonus content. Quick one.
Yeah. More content. I was driving the van and trailer in downtown LA. And I was passing through Compton.
You can just stop there. And
I was passing through Compton, and the trailer comes off the hitch at a stoplight in the middle of Compton.
Had you not clipped the piece that goes on
not.
The ball?
Yeah, we checked it. I don't think the ball set all the way like into the hitch.
Yeah.
It just kind of like I hit a bump and it popped right off. It yanked both chains off the hitch, like, and I think it broke one of the chains. And it was just sitting in the middle of the street, you know, no big deal.
Oh my God.
I had to call the guys because they were just right down the street at wherever they were eating at. I said, you got to come help me because, you know, it's got all our stuff in it. You know what I mean? So it's not like,
yeah.
Listen, I'm a big dude. I can deadlift a lot. I definitely can't deadlift a trailer full of equipment. Dude, I was just
but
like,
thankfully you were on a side street because I mean that happens on the freeway.
Was,
and
dude, I was like so done.
Yeah, what idiot like, would let their trailer what... come off on a freeway?
Usually, Steve would be the one that like you know, big brothers man is like, dude, what are you doing? Like, what the heck, man? Like, you know, and he just like gets in the van after we do it. And he just looks at me and he's like,
dude,
I. He doesn't even what? Say anything. He's just like, I don't know what to say.
We've had a couple of trailer incidents. We've never had the ball not be all the way connected, but we did have the hitch come all the way almost off and started dragging it, and then we also lost an entire wheel, and it went firing down the road and almost clipped a motorcyclist. So
We almost clipped one of our passengers with it. It like came off, and we pulled over on the side of the road. This was like in Arizona, like on our way to on our way over to Vegas, and we stopped and we saw that it was, you know, because it was scraping, like, and we stopped and then we were just like, well, what the heck, and like, you know, I was like, well, I guess the wheel's gone, and then boop 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 boop, like here comes the wheel like rolling down the side of the road
passing you,
yeah, it just stops right in front of us, and we're like, oh, okay, well, that's a bonus, I guess.
Did it break off from the axle? Like, did it detach? Like that?
Yeah, right at the ball joint, it like just snapped. You know, and it's just made. I don't know what
thing happened to us. Yeah,
yeah, it's just wild. it's trailer design, man. I think it's just the way but yours is not a dually though. Yours was a single axle though, right?
It was. Yep.
Yeah. Same. Yep. Same with us. I think it's just the way single axles are, man. Like you just they can't. they can't hold that pressure over time for a super long time. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, dude, I feel like other than getting into an accident and or like experiencing some crazy catastrophe via weather, I feel like we've dealt with every trailer problem at this point, because we, you know, we run them into the ground, like we run them until they're dead. Like,
Well, it is kind of crazy to think about, like
snap off.
Yeah, we had the
middle
ramp door
load,
one
and I go
off.
To just step on it with a base cab and
straight down.
Yeah, it's just
if you think about it though, they're like cheap boxes made of plywood that somebody slaps a couple wheels on, and then we pull them behind.
Charges you a few thousand dollars for.
We pull that, it's charging a couple thousand dollars, and then we pull them behind machinery, you know, that weighs tons and is going at 75 miles an hour. And it's like these two things don't compute, like all of the safety checks and all the stuff that this vehicle had to pass. And then it's just like, here, put a cheap box onto the back of that and then throw all your really expensive stuff into that cheap box.
Exactly.
And then we're all surprised when something happens. It's always the trailer.
Dude, yeah. It's like, well, like you might as well be like, you might as well just throw it in a blanket and like
just drag it
to the back of the van. Like, you know, that's like, the sheet metal is not fooling me. Like, that does not very thick, you know. No. Yeah.
Yeah, what, 5 millimeters? Not even.
Yeah, the sheet metal ain't stopping anything. Yeah. Oh man. Dude, we were in Texas one time because we were having issues with our alternator harness. Our harness, I think. Yeah, some of the wiring with our alternator. And it all started with us running out of gas. We used to drive this giant like transit bus that we kind of modified to have bunks that'll and stuff it. In it. And we used to drive one of those. So, you know, slowly over time things start going out, like AC and heat and, you know, all these other things. And
just the minor
things. Some of the lights. Yeah. Like, you know, but we're driving down the road, and this is before Abishai was in the band. We broke down. It was super late at night. We were running behind, and I was just like, "Ab, man, can you like drive for a couple hours or like an hour? Like drive for an hour?" And I was like, "I'll go crash on the couch real quick and just wake me up, and we'll be good." And he's like, "Okay." So then, like, we're on the stretch of like I-10 in Texas where there's like no gas station for like probably about 100-200 miles ish, you know. So we're like, we run out of gas and we break down in the middle of Texas in this. Hi, buddy. Oh, that guy's a big boy. I love
he's
that.
Begging
he's
me to go outside.
I love that he's sitting and that he's still eye level with you.
I know. Like, I know. He's absolutely massive. This is a very visual podcast, everybody. But giant dog is
here,
sitting next
while
to
we're
me.
At it, I have been constantly having to lean forward because someone decided to get in between the couch cushion and the.
I'll show you one of them.
We're just gonna start a pets podcast.
That's right, cowboy. Hey. We'll show you some of the pups. My daughter's
zoology.
Just here.
Yeah, let's just
zoology podcast instead. Nobody really wants to hear us talk about music, anyways. They want to hear about the dogs.
Top ten dog breeds.
Oh man, well, if Ralphie can hear me, I better say Great Dane.
Where, bud? Hi, buddy. Say hi.
Hello.
Oh, he's a good boy.
What is this one's name?
This is Kai.
Kai.
Yeah. Hi, buddy. That's my beautiful
boy.
Yeah, and then we've got this little rat that causes me probably more grief than most. I've had her since she was a puppy, though, so it makes sense. Come here, Uber.
Oh,
like your little corgi baby.
Gonna fly away with those ears, man.
Oh yeah,
just start flapping.
See, this is my
off.
So this is my she was my wife's gift from me to her on our anniversary because she had ever since we had started dating, she had always wanted a corgi. And my mom just so happened to like work with somebody who was breeding corgis. And it's funny, after the litter she had with that, like that was her last one. Like she's like, ah, I can't keep giving these pups up. They're too cute. I want to keep all of them. So she ended up getting me one, and I kind of surprised my wife with it, which is, you know, not necessarily something you surprise your wife with as a dog, you know, but like, like here's more financial responsibility.
It was well received.
Yeah. No,
that's
like,
okay. I was sitting on the couch last night, and my wife walked out and said that she bought a horse, and I thought that she was joking, and she was not. So now we have another horse. So it could be worse.
Wow, yeah, you know what? Touche. Like, crap.
Yeah, I thought we were good with one horse and two dogs, yeah, and two cats and the farm.
No, dude, the street, if you got a wife that's a horse lover, man, it's over. No, that's it. No, that's it. I always say that because, like, I grew up on a couple farms, like growing up as a kid, and like, cool, we always had horses. So yeah, it's like, it's, I don't know what it is. Like, it's like dog lover to the next level, because it's like they can never just have one, you know. It's just, yep, like, yeah.
Oh, I got going. All the reasons why. I found out all the reasons why there had to be
yeah, exactly.
Have another just, one, but
yeah. Oh yeah. No,
well, they need a friend.
Yeah. They need.
Come on now, Evan.
That one doesn't work yeah, here, because he lives down the street. The one she has now lives down the street with all the neighbors' horses,
and
so he's got plenty
symmetry
of friends.
You can't
already.
You can't have two of everything else, and then only, it's biblical. You gotta have two of
yeah,
your time.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta...
Yes, apparently. Apparently it is. So, yep.
That's awesome.
I do have to ask. So it is the 10-year anniversary of one of your albums this year, mm-hmm, I believe.
Five by five.
Yep. I'm not expecting you to leak anything that you can't tell us about, but are you guys trying to even like throw some of those songs back in the set lists for the shows you are doing this year? Or
we're trying to
celebrate it
anyway. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's been a rotating discussion we've been having. So we're definitely trying to
pay homage to it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got like a whole Google Doc for it, you know, trying to figure out, like, you know, when's the best time to plan a show, you know, what are we going to do? Like, I don't know if it's something that's going to merit a tour, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Hometown show,
you know,
maybe.
I mean, there's a huge possibility. I mean, because we're not really doing a whole lot at home, so it might be worth, yeah, doing something like that. So, yeah, because we did that. Obviously, we did that with 5x5, and stuff worked out really well. So, plus we were, because I do all of our merch stuff, I'm getting ready to talk to our guy Jim about potentially doing some, talk to some of the guys about what they want to do as far as 10-year anniversary, like merch is concerned. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, we gotta figure all that out. So, I mean, there's definitely stuff in the works, you know, and we're gonna definitely do something. So, because even, you know, we just talked about like online presence, like even if we're not playing, like we definitely have to like put it out there, you know.
Yeah.
So,
I feel like we both use the same merch guy, it sounds like.
Jim Hughes.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's done some stuff
legend
for us in the past.
He's
before,
incredible.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Dude, Jim is the freaking bomb, dude. Like he kills it. I am so insanely impressed with everything he comes back. Like the Lost in Translation t-shirts were, was just stuff.
So
it's like, yeah, I just said, hey, like I have this idea. Here's some like maybe some reference photos that I found on the internet, like just kind of thing. I was like, this is kind of what I'm looking for, and I was like, just kind of do your thing, man. Like, I know you always deliver. And he comes, that's like the first thing he comes back with. And I was like, cool. I went to the right person. Like, you know, yeah. So,
awesome.
Yeah, those shirts turned out really rad. Yeah.
We got an episode with Jim. It was either season one or season two. So, scroll back through your feed, people, and find that one. That was a fun one. Since you brought Lost in Translation back up again, I had to ask, have you or have you become aware of any of the artists that you covered knowing about the cover or hearing about the cover or giving you any feedback on the cover?
Well, I know the guys in 21 Pilots probably have heard it, I'm sure. You know, Josh and Tyler are super nice guys. Like, we've known them for gosh, we've known them for a while.
They're from your neck of the woods, right? That kind of
yeah. They're also from
Columbus. Yeah, okay. They it's not, you know, I mean, we don't like, you know, talk on a basis or anything, you know, like, I mean, we're kind of like mutual kind of like friends kind of thing, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't talked to those guys in a long time, but like we used to play a lot of shows with them back in the day when they were super local. the typical, I knew them before they were big story, but yeah, you know, no, but
I mean,
like,
name drop, come on.
It's kind of funny though, because like, dude, like I was in a local band here in Ohio, obviously before Wolves, like, cause that's how we met. And like, there were shows that like that local band I was in was headlining over 21 Pilots. Like, and it was really weird. That's, I mean, because wild. Like, dude, it felt so, and you know, Wolves had done that plenty of times. And it felt like such an overnight thing when they came out with Car Radio and like that whole record, and then that
record
after that, dude, like they just exploded. Like they just literally blew up, and with like a month's time, went from little Ohio to like now like top 40 million different, you know, like
yeah.
That's just, I don't know. It's just insane. But yeah, they yeah, I'm sure they've probably heard the song. Like we've tagged them in some stuff and like have paid homage to them and just like saying like, you know, we really love the song in general anyway, you know, so it's cool to, as far as anybody else is concerned, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like it sounds bad, but I feel like, you know, like why the heck would they hear little old Wolves? You know, why would Billie Eilish ever listen to Wolves at the Gate? You know, that kind of thing. You know?
Well, I hope they do. I hope they do, because I'd
love to hear what their opinion is. I'd love to hear what Jared Leto's
opinion. I'd love to hear Jared here to say hello.
Like, I'd love to hear what Deftones has to say about our cover of their song.
That'd
you know?
Be great.
I want to know what John Bellion thinks, because
I'd just be fangirling. That's all it would be happening. So I wouldn't even do it. It'd just be like, oh my gosh, you're hi.
Well, just the energy that you guys were able to put into that one, because it was such like the original was such like a thoughtful and introspective song, and then to come and really capture like the essence of that, but in just a thunderous way, I think was really cool.
Oh,
and for those of you who are only listening on audio, you are missing out, because we have a baby appearance.
Hi, Lena, my baby.
What a cutie.
And this is a first for us too. This is the first time we've had a baby on the podcast. So just breaking all sorts of milestones today.
What a cutie.
She's awesome. She always wants it. You ask my wife, she always wants to be held. So it's like, all right, I'll get you out of the chair.
Well, we won't keep you from her too much longer then, but I guess to cap things off here, you know, you guys have kind of been teasing that you're working on some stuff. I know that you probably can't share too much, but is there anything you can share with the listeners who especially the angry guy in the Lost in Translation comments who wishes it was more new music.
No, I mean it's coming out this year. So awesome. Yeah, I mean, like, and it's like, I mean, we're like, it's close. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's we don't have like a set date yet. But like, I mean, we're pretty much getting to the point where, like, you know, we finally have kind of almost everything together except for maybe one song, I think, or something, and then we're gonna start tracking vocals, like we're gonna start tracking vocals and start putting like final touches on it, because I mean, this is just stuff that we're like pretty much self-producing at this point, because it makes way That's more awesome. Sense to do that anymore. So I mean, we're just kind of like, yeah, that's where we're at. I mean, I hate to say that, like, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, it's coming out soon, but like, yeah, we're pretty steadily approaching. Like,
that's sweet.
I mean, maybe a fall release. I mean, if things are kind of going the way that they are, but yeah, I mean, we've got a solid 8 or 10 songs. So, I mean, it's going to be, awesome. It's still going to be sweet. A good one. And I'm
excited.
I say this every record, because I, you know, obviously, like, I always want to be stoked on our music, but seriously, like, I genuinely think people are going to be blown away by some of the stuff that we've kind of put together this time, because it's, just, like, it's so out of the box for us, you know, like, it's just like, we're kind of like, you know, the things that we found that were really strong on eulogies that we kind of stepped out of our comfort zone to do, you know, that made like Lights and Fire and Shadows really popular. We kind of like doubled down on some of that stuff.
Awesome.
like,
have you, been pushing yourself into more? I know you did some singing and stuff now too, right? Like, have you been pushing yourself vocally as well?
Trying to. Record? Yeah. I mean, I had started after Eulogies. I started trying to get back into taking vocal lessons. And actually just really trying to work on like what my voice sounds like, you know, and just trying to create something unique. And just, you know, it's just more content to add to the, to add to the record, you know? So, I mean, it's, if it's something that fits and that it does well, sure. But I mean, even dude, I'm always also trying to find different ways to like, develop my screaming more too as well. So like that alone on this record is, I think, vastly different than a lot of different things. So it's just like, I think even the expectation there is to like, for me, it's like almost like letting the monster out of the cage a little bit more and more, to the point where he's like finding new tricks to do. So it's just like, yes. So like, that's what was more exciting for me, is that like, I love this thing and like, that sounds awesome. But like, like there are different things that I've done on this record, like that I'm doing on these demos that are like screaming wise and like tones and different stuff like that, that I think are just like,
that's awesome.
Way better than anything I've ever done before. So I'm really excited for this. I think this is going to be sick, and it's definitely not like the last, you know, so, you know, it's just going to keep, there's some more that's going to kind of roll with us. So just keep a lookout. So.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, everybody. Home Depot Impromptu Dentistry is the name of the album, and we got an exact date for you. It's going to be in the fall. So,
So brought to you by Vitamin Water.
Brought to you by Vitamin Water.
Well, where can everybody find you guys? Find you? I know. I think you have your merch link up on the Instagram profile and socials and stuff.
Yeah, wolvesatthegate.com is where you can find any tour dates, our Shopify link, all that kind of good stuff.
We'll link all that below.
You've seen, if you want to link my Instagram handle, that's my handle for pretty much anything. I'm on, Twitter. I refuse to call it X. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, all Facebook, all that kind of stuff. So like, we're all over that stuff. If you find me, you're gonna find the band, you know. So because I'm always trying to plug whatever we're doing. So anywhere. I mean, we're on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, like we're on all of it. So
awesome.
Mostly point people towards Spotify, but you know, because I know that's probably the more easier one for people.
Well, thank you so much.
We'll put
that
all below, guys. Go buy some of their merch. They got some sick hoodies and shirts out right now.
Absolutely.
You can click on that.
And thank you for taking time out of your day and your daddy daughter time, and for allowing her to make
appearance. Just hanging out, aren't we, baby?
Episode number 2.
And
she's gonna be the
we got some waves going on. You're really missing out if you're only on audio, everybody. Well, thanks again.
You people have a reason to want to watch the podcast, right? Like, you gotta listen. I get listening is convenient, but you gotta watch it. I mean, that's the whole thing.
We're just gonna see views spike at the last 30 seconds of the episode.
scroll through to find the baby stuff. I know. This will be the only episode I can get my mom to listen to. So There was a baby.
Oh, come on, okay.
There's a baby.
All right. I'll go with the baby.
All right, thanks again.
I appreciate you guys having me. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. Yeah. I hope we get to do more of these. Like, this would be cool.
Yeah. Absolutely. We should. We were just talking about that. We'll hang out more often. We just kind of want to do these more now, as like every so often whenever we have some free time, pop in, hang out with people, touch base, and
absolutely.
You guys aren't too far away. We'll keep our eye out for whenever that hometown show gets announced.
Absolutely. Dude, if you guys are, I was going to say, if you guys are ever in Columbus for whatever reason, like, please do not be afraid to hit me up. Let's go get some lunch. Let's do something, you know.
Yeah, sounds great, do some barbecue.
Let's do it. Dude. There's a There's a place. I could take you. There's a place. There's a place here.
Awesome.
But cool.
All right. Thanks a lot so much, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah.